So yeah, Freedom Fiends Live here. Yeah. Kevin McKernan, our friend, the DNA scientist, said that people who hold advanced degrees in one field often feel qualified to give extensive opinions in other fields about things they know nothing about. And that's kind of been my experience with smart statists. And I had an experience today with someone adding me on Facebook and then looking up voluntarism because I mentioned it and then wanting to argue with me about it. And I wanted to send her to go read Anatomy of the State first. And she got really upset and said, "What's wrong, little boy? You can't debate with me?" Yeah, I win, basically. And got ruder from there. And then I blocked her. And she, you know, had advanced degrees in things.
Some statist who was very anti-Muslim, anti-Islam, and the guy was like had a physics degree. He was like a PhD in physics or maybe a master, some kind of higher postgraduate degree. And Will was like, "Yeah, well, that doesn't give you the right to comment on history or sociology or, you know, religion. Like, I sit there and study the Quran or whatever, and you don't. So what gives you the right to say that you're the authority on it when you have a degree in physics?"
Great interview, by the way, with Will Coley on the Gumbo.
It was.
Your first Gumbo contribution, and I really like it. And I think I owe you 1/200th of a Bitcoin, because we've had a 1/10th of a Bitcoin donation on the Gumbo, and now you've produced 1/20th of our episodes.
Of the content.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I'll have to up my ratio and add some more.
So yeah, I had an experience today with someone like that. Someone added me on Facebook, a friend of a friend. I don't know her. And I immediately, whenever people add me on Facebook, I immediately post a Freedom Fiends spam on their Facebook, you know,
because they not a spam because they added
came to
you.
Me. They added me. Yeah. Right. So, you know, and then she commented, Austrian economics and voluntarism. I didn't know what those were. And I Googled them. And I didn't like it, so I want to debate you on here about this. And I said, "Well, I see that you have advanced degrees in biology and art, which is a really weird double major." But you know, and I
maybe
said,
"She
you know,
wanted to draw frogs or something."
Yeah, and I said, you know, that'd be like me saying, "I heard you mention abstract art. I didn't know what it was, and I looked on Wikipedia, and now I think it sucks, and I want to debate you on it," you know? And and she's like, went ad hominem. She's like, "Oh, what, are you a scared little boy, and you won't debate me?" And
scared I said, little boy.
I said, "Well, first of all, debate involves give and take, and starting a good debate, you can't start a good debate with an ad hominem attack. You know, that's not a debate. That's a kindergarten shoving match in the schoolyard."
Yeah.
And I said, "I'd like to have you read a 50-page PDF. I was going to give her Anatomy of the State. And I said, you know, that'll get you up to speed, and then we'll have something to debate about." And she's like, "I don't have time for that. You know, I win. You're turning down the debate." But she didn't say I win, but more or less. And then she said, you know, and I said, "Well, that's not really a debate. And if you don't have time to read, you know, a 1-hour reading on something you know nothing about, how do you have time to do a debate on Facebook? That could take days, you know?"
Seriously.
And she said, "That's it. One more and you're unfriended."
What?
Yeah. Yeah. So I blocked her. I unfriended her and blocked her.
Okay.
Which isn't me winning. It's me saving time arguing with statists. Because, you know, Ben Quaker put it really well. And people have actually been quoting this of him saying, like, you know, libertarians aren't made, they're born. And
I
would say
I think he was quoting somebody else when he came up with, when he said that on his cast, though. Yeah, we'll have to go back and listen to it. It might have been Oppenheimer. I don't remember the name, but it was somebody else, some other libertarian OG that had said it.
I'd say that the corollary is that statists aren't made, they're born. And someone who's that obviously, like, violently defending the state and bashing anyone who dares come near their god of the state is not going to be convinced, and there's really no point in talking to them.
Yeah.
It's a waste of time, you know?
It is a waste of time. Although, I don't know if libertarians and statists are necessarily born, but I think once you're set, you're pretty much maybe you are pretty much set.
I was pretty solidly a statist from my government upbringing. You know, when you met me, I was down to minarchist. But before that, like 5 or 10 years before that, you know, if you'd asked me, I would have definitely tried to offer an opinion about guns, which I knew nothing about, you know, and I would have said, "Oh, I think that only the police and the government should have guns. And if citizens have them, they should be very heavily regulated." I would have said, I think that, you know, everyone should pay their fair share of taxes. I would have said I don't really like cops or feel comfortable when I'm around them, but I'm really glad they exist and the world would be a worse place without them. I would have given you all those arguments.
Okay.
But I wouldn't have been mean or nasty about it either.
But you think beneath the surface you were always a libertarian, and then once that was revealed to you,
it made sense.
You embraced it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like...
So you're saying that there are some people that don't have that innate sense that'll allow that to be revealed to them.
Yeah, I mean, I liked what Will Coley said about how he became a Muslim. I mean, he's a white boy from Tennessee and, you know, became a Muslim, and that's unusual. And you asked him about it, and he's like, well, you know, I was talking to this guy, and he said, you know, from what you say, I think you're a Muslim. And he's like, I don't know anything about what being a Muslim is. And he's like, I think you have it in you. Go check it out, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And he did, and it fit, and then that brought him to libertarianism, or... I guess pseudo-anarchism, as he put it.
But then he went further. Yeah. And he also said that a lot of Muslims in America are embracing libertarianism and anarcho-capitalism, like a higher percentage than the general population, because they're so disappointed with both. You know, the Republicans want to scapegoat them and kill them, and the Democrats want to forget they exist and kill them, you know?
Yeah. Or kill them for humanitarian reasons, quote-unquote humanitarian reasons. So, yeah, either way, they're screwed. And I guess that's a pretty intuitive thing. It's just sometimes that's not necessarily a thought that would occur to a regular person in the regular course of their lives. But it seems completely intuitive, right? There's no place for Muslim Americans in the Democratic or Republican Party. So, yeah, I mean, I could definitely see them reaching out and trying new philosophies and new ideas. Not that that being a Democrat or Republican means you're into philosophy, but you get the gist.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we are about to... We don't have a whole lot of time left, but I think we should give out the call-in number just to let people know.
Let's give it out after the first break. We want to talk about Peter the Elder Bruegel.
Ah, your favorite. Yeah, you've been obsessed with him.
Yeah. New artist I really like. I mean, I've known who he was. I first heard of him in the Selby movie when I interviewed Michael Silverblatt from Bookworm magazine, who's a real heavy hitter NPR guy who's like, you know, I mean, he interviewed the author of the Satanic Verses during the fatwa with the guy in the studio. That's how like up there this guy is. And he said, you know, Selby isn't so much a writer, he's a painter with words, landscapes of demons and degradation and failure, like Bosch or Bruegel. And I was like, I knew who Bosch was, but I looked up Bruegel, and he's brutal, man. I mean, I think Death Clock would have them hanging in their study. And and I think that Toki's parents in Death Clock, the Reverend and Anya Wartooth, are based on the style of Bruegel, how they're drawn.
Right, and the reason you came across Bruegel again was our new blog, the Freedom Fiends blog. Isn't that a Bruegel painting at the banner?
Top? I thought it was Bosch at first, too. Amazing. And he's influenced by Bosch, but he was later, a Dutch 16th century artist. It's called Mad Meg is the English translation of it. It's basically a woman leading a rebellion into hell.
Yes.
Religious art is so often brutal, man. I mean, he has one of like Jesus carrying the cross that looks like total torture porn.
It does. And it's amazing to look at, though. It's very evocative. And it was interesting, too, because the bad guys on it are completely uniformed. And anybody who's a libertarian would immediately recognize that is some form of the state.
Jesus was killed by the government.
Whipping him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And Jesus is just sitting there downtrodden. And all the people in their normal clothes are either like looking on like, oh, my God, this is a train wreck, or in some kind of horror. Whereas as the state goons are just like, another day in the office.
You know, I actually heard Hubert Selby Jr. mentioned in a stand-up comedian's rant. It was Patton Oswalt, one of my favorite comedians. Yeah. And he was talking about, like, it was the only fat humor I've ever liked. He was talking about how, like, yeah, I'm fat, but, you know, I don't really like the meetings where you go to lose weight as much as, like, I mean, I have these friends who are recovering addicts and alcoholics. Their meetings are dark and twisted and layered. And, you know, then you go to the fat meetings, it's like, yeah, I was eating extra cake and it wasn't very good. And he's like, I want to go to a meeting where it's like a Hubert Selby Jr. share about fat. Like, I was living in Juarez with a 13-year-old obese prostitute.
Yeah, she kept squeezing mayonnaise into my mouth while I was naked and rubbing olive oil all over my belly.
It'd be a little darker and more layered than that if it was Selby. But yeah, he went into it. It's good. So yeah, Bruegel. Bruegel good, man. Check him out, y'all. I'll link him.
Bruegel good.
I'll link him. Bruegel all good. Right. Worms. Yo.
Yo.
What's up,
Fiends Live?
Yeah.
Chiller. What's up, Michael Dub?
We got a caller on the line here. It's awesome. David. Where are you calling from, David?
I'm trapped up in Minneapolis, man.
What did I hear about Minneapolis recently in the news?
Oh, didn't the cops shoot somebody last week?
Well, that could be said of anywhere, but anywhere with a population of people.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So, what's on your mind today, Art?
Yeah, I had sent you an email a while back, and I, you know, talked about how I really like the one aspect of The Fiends is how you guys recommend really cool film and music and books and
paintings now.
Paintings. Everything,
yeah.
Right? So,
I wonder if my need to discuss Bruegel today was my way of like silently fighting with that woman who had the degree in art without her even hearing it. You know, like,
oh, maybe.
Yeah, I didn't think about that until just now, but yeah.
Yeah, that happens though. I mean, it's such a subjective thing, right?
Yeah. So yeah,
I mean, when I sent you an email, I mentioned that, and I got to tell Nima too. Like, I Own Me and all the music from Right Arm of Wyoming. That's what I listen to when I box.
Awesome.
I just love it, man.
Do you picture the state? Do you picture the state on your opponent's face?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I got all kinds of flags around the heavy bag.
Cool. Nice. So you're always punching the flags. I love
That's
it.
That's right, man. Gotta fuck them all.
So what's the hip hop you've discovered recently?
Well, it's this little group out of Australia. Their name is Bliss and ESO. That's ESO, and they're kind of a I don't know. They might not be for everybody, but I kind of like them.
Okay. Yeah, I'm always into checking new stuff out.
Yeah, give it a listen. I mean, if you get into it, there's a lot of cool hip hop out of Australia.
Yeah, I would have never even thought to look to Australia for hip hop, but I guess this Bliss and ESO group will be their representatives as I check them out.
Well, give it a shot and see if you like it. I don't know. Maybe it'll work.
Yeah, yeah. No, I definitely appreciate the recommendation. I'll check it out. So you're it's sort of a give and take. You've appreciated us recommending things to you, and so now you're recommending something to us.
Well, yeah, I mean, totally. I got to be honest. If I had never listened to the Freezing Fiends, I would have never started listening to Bomb.
Oh, Bomb. There's
and a blast I love old that. Punk, man. I mean, like, Iggy and the Stooges was, you know, sorry, guys, but totally my favorite band.
It was one of mine, too. It still is. I actually really like some of Iggy Pop's solo work. I really like his record, American Caesar. You ever heard that?
You know, I don't know if I've listened to that one off the top of my head. I really like the older stuff better.
I like the song Dirt. I've been done. I don't care. That one?
I just love that Open Up and Bleed.
Well, Metallic KO is pretty cool, too. And, you know, any of the Stooges, I mean, it's in a way, they kind of invented punk rock. I mean, they at least kind of invented the guitar sound of punk rock. And I interviewed their guitar player in my movie DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist Before He Died. Have you seen that movie?
I have not. I'm going to have to look for it.
Well, are you? Do you do torrenting?
You know, I haven't done it yet.
There's directions on how to do it. You should go to, and this is legal torrents. This is stuff I made that I'm sharing. It's Fiend stuff in my movies. If you go to the Freedom Fiends website, at the very top, there's a little link that says Torrent Club. And if you go to that,
I looked at it.
It explains you how to do it. And that movie and my other movies are on there, and Nima and my movies and Nima's music. And well, not Nima's music yet, but it will be. And it's good stuff. And you can help the Fiends by seeding. And I was going to say about seeding, too. Like, even if you don't feel like seeding our stuff 24/7, I encourage everybody to download it in their torrent program. So if something happens to us, you can turn it on. You can turn a switch, and all of a sudden it'll be available again. You'll have it.
I'm going to have to look into doing that. I just haven't started it yet.
Yep, well, there's step-by-step instructions and downloads of free stuff in there. Make sure you use PeerBlock, which we link, and make sure when you install uTorrent, you refuse all the, like, do you want to add the Ask toolbar and crap like that?
Right on.
Yep.
Hey, I had to throw you a movie, too.
What?
I know you like the design films. Have you ever seen a documentary called Art and Copy?
No, I'll look that up.
It's all about advertising and the old school guys who would put up like billboards and single page advertisements and how they, you know, in one word tried to get you to like a you know, something you could buy.
Nice. So kind of like the psychology of advertising kind of angle?
Yeah, well, at least that's what I got out of it. I'm sure if you talk to some kind of marketer, they'd have a whole different view on it. But, you know, Michael, in the past, you've always recommended stuff that I absolutely loved. So,
well, I wanted to talk.
Like we're on the same page.
There's a movie you and I've seen that Nima hasn't seen that we can talk about and leave him out of the conversation. The Apostle. The Apostle with Robert Duvall, where he plays a fallen preacher. It's an amazing movie. I recommend it highly.
Yeah, it's kind of a good view on like how people treat preachers in the South, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's a lot of truth in it about, like, you know, when he's kicked out of the, well, I guess this is a spoiler, but, you know, schisms do happen and new churches form and half the church goes with him. And, you know, I asked my wife when we loved the movie, when we were done, I was like, you know, what do you think the moral of that is? What do you think the tagline would be of that movie? And she's like, she thought for a second, she said, even the fallen can lead you to victory. And I think that's a really good description of that movie.
Yeah, because he kind of did have a redemption, if I recall.
Yeah. Yeah, he made a lot of people's lives better, even if it was by spreading the news of his imaginary friend. I still liked him a lot and liked his church.
Well, it's an interesting concept, too, the traveling church. I think a lot of people would find that kind of very foreign.
What do you mean?
Well, he kind of, as I recall, he bounced around a lot in that movie.
Geographically or emotionally?
Correct. Geographically.
Nah, there's two look. Well, at the beginning, he's living in Dallas, and he has a church there, and he's touring to other nearby churches, like within the state and maybe the next state, but he's coming home every weekend. Then he does what he does and has to leave town, and he goes pretty much straight directly to one other town in Louisiana, and the rest of the movie takes place there. It doesn't bounce around that much.
Well, I haven't seen it in a while, so.
Yeah, well, there's kind of a montage at the beginning of him preaching with the black preacher that's his partner at like 10 different churches, everything from like mega churches to tent revivals, you know, like with 20 people
in them,
all in the same week, like just kind of showing how devoted he is to he'll preach anywhere, anytime. And he does not seem to be all about the money, and he really seems to believe. I mean, they show him in his private moments and he's praying really hard. You know, he's for real in his heart.
Sure, yeah, to me it just seemed kind of strange because, you know, as I grew up, you went to the same church with the same preacher for, you know, 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, I went to a church like that that was, you know, a big stained glass church, Episcopal church, and, you know, occasionally there'd be a visiting minister, but it would be from the next county and he'd go back after church, you know, to his home. But no, I mean, think about it. Like back then, there wasn't the internet, there wasn't a lot of TV when that kind of preaching began. I mean, really, it's like first century apostle Jesus, you know, like they traveled, they wandered to bring the word, and that's how the church was spread. And there's a lot of people who say that's how you spread, you know, the idea. And even AA actually formed out of a group. I made a mistake last week. I said it was the Oxford group. That was actually formed out of I was talking about the Washingtonians, but then that turned into the Oxford group. Washingtonians broke up because they strayed from their primary purpose and got involved in politics and banning liquor. Then the Oxford group learned from their mistakes, but then they did kick Bill Wilson out for getting too preachy. And, you know, but he believed in first century Christianity, and that's how he spread AA. He said it's one man to another, one man preaching to another, anywhere the Lord wants you, you know?
Sure.
So cool, man. It's good to have you on. I'd like you to call back anytime. First time caller.
Yeah, I certainly will when I get the chance.
Yep.
All right.
Thanks,
man. Great
to chat with you guys.
Worms.
Have a good one.
Yeah, take care.
We're going to go sell some things here. We'll be back.
Want to search porn in private? Or maybe you just want to talk to your friends without some tech goon hired off a pizza box snooping through your private thoughts. MetroPipe VPN is a secure computing service operated by privacy-loving anarcho-capitalists. Accounts can be had for as little as $7.50 a month. They take Bitcoin, don't keep any logs, and hate nanny intrusions as much as you do. Get a 25% discount by going to metropipe.net/fiends. That's metropipe.net/fiends. Should decisions on what you put in your body be left up to people whose very job depends on keeping certain plants illegal? Or do you believe in freedom of ingestion? The Janome Project is a cannabis science community founded by a leading DNA scientist. We fight ignorance with information. We don't have all of the answers, but we put all of our proceeds into finding them. If this requires sequencing the genomes of a forbidden plant, we've done it. If it requires leaving the country for the free pursuit of science, we've done that as well. The Janome Project is an ongoing crowdsourced experiment in free pursuit of the truth on cannabinoid sciences. Join us and participate in studying Mary Jane's genome. Get the app by searching Jane-Ohm on iTunes. The app is only $1.99 and all proceeds go to furthering and disseminating scientific truth. You must be 17 or older to download the app. Search Jane-Ohm on iTunes. That's Jane-Ohm.
What's up, Michael?
Yeah. We're going to talk about auditing the Fed, because this thing's been going around, as it often does on the internet, saying, the Fed was finally audited. Here's the results. They stole $72,000 per American and gave it to foreign banks before the first quantitative easement. And but you pointed out something interesting. What was it?
Yeah. Well, it's dated. The article is on Before It's News. It says 100-year history. Were posted today. They are startling, talking about Fed audit results. It says it was posted on a senator's website this morning, but if you click on the senator's website, it was posted, you know, recently, but the date of the actual audit was July 21st, 2011.
Yeah, so maybe this should have been on afteritsnews.com.
Afteritsnews.com, yeah. And some of the numbers bandied about,
afteritsoldnews.com.
yeah. I mean, the numbers are shocking, but I feel like I have heard them before. Basically, $16 trillion given away from the Fed in secrecy, which is just the normal way the Fed operates. So nothing normally untoward, nothing out of the ordinary there. But $16 trillion to different banks, both domestic and foreign. I feel like Ron Paul's been saying that, though, forever, that the Fed is giving away billions of dollars to banks, domestic and foreign.
And auditing the Fed is about the only thing Bernie Sanders and Ron Paul agree on. Bernie Sanders is the only avowed socialist in the Congress, Senate in the whole Congress, including the Senate. And I also kind of think like, yeah, okay, we kind of knew this all along. Now it's confirmed, I guess, a year ago, but people are still passing it around like it's news because that's how the internet works. People are still carrying signs that say audit the Fed. Maybe they missed this memo and nothing will change. It's not, you said, it's not like, you know, Ben Bernanke's going to go, okay, you got me. Here's your money back. You know, and every American's right, going to get a check for $72,000.
Right. Yeah. The most powerful man in the world isn't going to be like, oh, well, you found out what I do. So.
Interesting. Are you saying that that the head of the Fed is the most powerful man in the world above the U.S. president? Because that's usually reserved for the U.S. president, that title.
I think that case has been made by people. I think Ron Paul has made that case as well. Bernanke controls the money, right? I mean, he has more money to throw around than Barack Obama. If he can authorize $16 trillion just on his own whim.
Without the president or Congress's involvement.
Without any political discourse about it one way or the other, or at least mainstream political discourse about it, other than this is going to be bad maybe, but we don't know, and Fox News kind of stuff. I guess we'll see what the fiend feels.
No, we'll
about.
Just say Ben Quaker. Powerful. Ben's just going to have to sit here while I finish my thought. I'm putting Ben on a shelf for a second. Hey, Ben.
Hello. How you doing?
Good. Hang on a sec. So, you know, I think there's two takeaways here. One is everyone's been yelling audit the Fed forever. Apparently, it happened a year ago, and it didn't change anything, and people are still yelling audit the Fed. The other thing is, the way the internet works and the way news works, you really got to check your sources and at least click on something instead of just reposting or damning or praising based on the title of an article. If you have time, it's good because,
if you have time,
yeah, I don't have time, but, you know, really, if you think about it, this kind of reminds me, like this has been, I posted this to 10 people this week and 10 people posted it back to me because they got it from the people I gave it to. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of, did you ever get the cookie recipe emails
or the cookie recipe emails?
Well,
no,
there's an email that goes around that's basically a chain letter. You know, it's a cookie recipe in an email. It's a variation on something that happened in snail mail before the internet. That's one. And then there's another one that says Congress is planning to tax every email 5 cents to protect the post office. Write your congressman, bill number, blah blah blah, from Senator so and so. And if you search it on Snopes or whatever, it's like, that was something proposed in 1991, I think, and it was shut down, and you know it didn't happen, and that senator hasn't served for that many years, and but people who just get on the internet still forward this thing. Whenever I get either of those emails, I say, "Welcome to the internet," and then block the person.
You block them, you don't help them along the way.
No, No, because they're going to just send dad spam.
You don't have time for the dad spam.
They're dad spam. All right, Ben Quaker.
I like to read the dad spam, but
Ben Quaker. How you doing, Ben Quaker?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to clarify my quote here.
Ah, good.
Excellent. Yes, please.
The quote was originally from Frank Charteroff back in the 60s. Amazing guy. And what he said was, you cannot teach anybody anything that he does not already in a real sense know. Neither education, background, income can explain either the socialist or the libertarian. Whenever you try any of these criteria, you're faced with cases that refute your premise. And then later in the same writing, he says, there are many who are instinctively repelled by government intervention, but who crave intellectual support for their inclinations. It is to them that the proponent of libertarianism must address himself. The socialist is beyond redemption. That is to say, the libertarian teaches not to make libertarians, but to find them.
I would just take the last line of that because it's really wordy, and I think in bumper stickers.
Yeah.
Even though I criticize people for... anyway, go on.
Well, this was in... I had brought that up in contradicting the Right Reverend Walter Block, who...
Are you being sarcastic, calling him the Right Reverend? You got a pod beef going with him, huh?
As a Quaker, I am more than sarcastic.
Hey, if you take up our offer to be a guest blogger regularly on Freedom Fiends blog, which you said you don't have time for, but if you do ever have time for it, I will make a special category called Walter Block.
Walter Block.
Yeah.
I really like Walter Block a lot, and he's done fantastic things for the movement. It's just, I worry about him. He's done some really strange things in the last year or so.
Has he acknowledged your existence yet?
Oh, no. No, he doesn't know. I'm so tiny.
I feel like he does a lot of important theoretical work, though. I mean, I think his stance on abortion, evictionism. I mean, I love that idea of finding new ways to problems that don't fit in people's traditional paradigms. So his thoughts on abortion that, you know, maybe with technology we can actually evict the fetus if the woman doesn't want it in it, and then the fetus doesn't have to be killed necessarily.
Yeah, but you see, he's been saying that for 20 years, so, I mean, what are you doing for me today, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
today he's just rolling on the ground worshiping the feet of Ron Paul, and that's really yesterday's news, you know? You gotta stay with the movement. We're a happening thing. We're moving along. This bus is on the road.
Okay.
This bus is on the road. I like that.
No, but he was talking about, he's obsessed with the word converting libertarians. He wants to convert. He says Ron Paul is the only one that can convert libertarians, and we have to get behind Ron Paul because he's the way to convert libertarians. You're not converting anybody, you know?
This is interesting. John Kennedy posted, he's listening, and he posted on Facebook and said, libertarians and statists are not born. That denies free will and reason. I kind of disagree. I mean, I kind of think that statism is, with some people, you know, I believe in that idea of political ponderology, that something like 6% of all people are naturally sociopathic and 14% want to follow sociopaths, and the rest are able to be swayed to their natural inclination by reason. Or even not to what they believe is reason. I kind of think of statism as like a birth defect. I really do.
Absolutely. No, I believe that. And let's put it a little bit on harsh terms. If you think about it in a purely natural setting, let's say we're running across the savannah, you know, chasing our latest meal. There are some people that are going to have certain advantages over others. And for the last 10, 15,000 years, statists have had a slight advantage, and that's why they're kind of in charge. But under natural circumstances, because I would argue that the last 10,000 years or so of the domination of the state is not natural to the human experience. So in a natural setting, which is, you know, when the state collapses, we'll get back to a natural setting.
All right, Ben Quaker, if you want to stick around for the next bit here, Ben, or?
Yeah, let's keep Ben over if he'll stay.
Okay, sure.
Okay, this episode is called Statism is a Birth Defect. We'll be back after some anarcho-capitalism. I'll keep an eye on it. We're recording. Go ahead. Okay, you got the off-air stuff. You guys talk.
Okay. Ben, tell us more about why you think statism isn't natural to the human experience. Because a lot of people, especially statists I talk to, they're like, oh, well, there's never, and you've sort of addressed this, you know, there's never been an anarchist society. And people seem to think that the state is natural. Can you give us a quick and dirty why they're wrong to think the state is natural?
Yeah, no problem. For the last 100 years, the state has been dominant throughout the world. But if you go back further than 100 years, the vast majority of the human population in the world at that moment and the vast majority of the population of the world that's ever existed in a state-free form. So in other words, the Empire of China, which has been the largest centralized state in history, 100 years ago, the Empire of China only actually could reach maybe a fifth of the landmass that it does today. The rest of the population of China was stateless. And throughout history, most of the human population has been stateless.
If you want a libertarian paradise, move to medieval China.
So the state actually is the anomaly throughout history. Like if you just drop the point anywhere on the time scale and say, okay, like 200 BC, the Roman Republic was really powerful and blah, blah, blah. And there were Persians that were powerful and there were Egyptians that were powerful. But the mass of the population of humanity was stateless. The state only existed in those little, you know, mostly little valley regions within the area of those empires. Okay. Almost all of Northern Europe was free. Go ahead.
Let's imagine the statist counters with, well, yeah, back then, you know, they didn't have all the modern conveniences we have now. So the state has been dominant for 100 years, and look at how far the world has progressed. We have all these amazing roads and cars and airplanes,
and we have movies where Tom Cruise shoots a drone out of the air with a machine gun in Mission Impossible 3.
Yes.
And you asked me what the organization is called in there. Is it the CIA or what? And I said, no, Tom Cruise's character works for the IMF.
The IMF.
Which is the Impossible Mission Force, which sounds like something a kid or Homer Simpson would make up. And it's also International Monetary Fund, which is the basically the PR firm of Ben Bernanke.
Right.
So they're trying to make giving away all our money that they print look like a heroic thing by tying it to the guy that can shoot a private drone out of the air with a machine gun.
Right. So, yeah, we have machine guns, drones, international monetary funds, and impossible mission forces. And the state's been dominant for 100 years. So statist tells you that, and what do you say?
Well, there's an actual argument in logic, and I can't remember the name of it, but you're not connecting a cause and effect here. You're saying one exists and this happened, therefore this happened because that exists. But that's not necessarily putting any kind of logical tie from one to the other. You could also say that automobiles have been around for 100 years, so literally you could make the argument using the same form of twisted logic. You could say we have the internet because of automobiles, even though the two are not connected. Or you could say the same thing about airplanes. You know, the fact is, you could say just as validly from a logical argument, you could say that what we have.
You're still there. You're still
we're back here on the Freedom Fiends.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We're back.
Yeah.
We're back on the Freedom Fiends.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you'll just have to listen to the archives to hear what me and Ben were talking about during the break. But I was basically asking Ben, okay, so a statist says, well, look at all, the state has been dominant for 100 years, which Ben has conceded, and now we have all of these fantastical inventions like roads and drones and airplanes and machine guns and Mission Impossible forces. And Ben says, well, you can't really equate, there's no cause and effect relationship there. You're not positing a causal relationship. You're just saying these two things exist at the same time. Was that the gist of your answer to that, Ben?
Yeah, correct. The human population up to 100 years ago, the vast majority of the human population was stateless. It's only been in the last 100 years that the state has really turned into the thing that it is right now. And so if we look at the progress that we've made in the last 100 years socially and scientifically and in the market and everything like this, it's an illogical flaw to try to relate the growth of technology in the market with the growth of the state, there are two things that you could also say that they grew independently, or one in spite of the other. You can make the argument in any way, because there's not necessarily a cause and effect.
Didn't Rothbard call it the world's greatest non sequitur?
Non sequitur, yes, exactly.
Well, speaking of non sequiturs, in that part that people didn't hear, and we'll have to go listen to the archives to hear, we also completely reviewed the movie Mission Impossible 3.
Did a complete review.
Yeah.
Making fun of them. Yes.
Yeah.
Although we solved the problem of perpetual motion.
We did. Yeah, so you'll want to check that out.
Yep. Well, Ben, you got more? Or are we going to open it up for more?
I think we kind of left the actual radio listeners dangling there on a point.
So,
but I can't remember what the point was right before the break.
Okay. Well, did you have more to say about Walter?
You know,
Brock?
you just actually pointed out, and we've talked about how you shouldn't point out on the air errors, because if you don't have the solution for that, you just made a problem by pointing that out.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think Nima had the solution, though, and that was in reference to Walter Block, that he's a poo-poo head and we shouldn't listen to him. No.
Oh, man. Are you just tugging at his shirt sleeves trying to get him to go acknowledge you?
I want him to give me a free book signed.
So that's your method for getting free books, is bashing someone and everything they do?
No, I really appreciate what he's done. I
don't know who he is. I'm like, Walter Block, who's that, man? I'm gonna go listen to Dead Kennedys and read Boston Tea Party.
I guess I'm familiar with him because he regularly posts on Lou Rockwell's blog.
Who's Lou Rockwell?
He's the 108-year-old guy that you're always talking about.
Never say that.
Lou Rockwell. It's one of my favorite blogs to visit, other than our own blog, Freedom Fiends.
You love to visit your own blog, Freedom Fiends, which you and your wife had the idea to set up, and then I set it up, and now I'm doing all the cat herding while you guys are out playing golf.
It was tennis, not golf.
Excuse me. I was at the country club playing tennis. I wasn't a golf player. Yeah. So yes, I'm the one that's like teaching all of our bloggers how to like properly use an apostrophe S. And yeah.
Well, I didn't think that would be a task that we would have to do. But
well, it is. You know, a lot of people can write pretty well, at least on a short thing like a blog, but they just don't know or forget the basic rules of grammar. And I've had three or four people I've had to walk that through already.
It happens.
And there's people that have never used WordPress before, and you know, but their ideas are great. So I'm gonna, I guess, be the English teacher and cat herder to get everyone whipped into shape. You know, I actually tried doing a collaborative blog before, Libertarian Punk, with some guys off the site conservativepunk.com, which this was a branch off of or a schism from. And, you know, there's some people that just couldn't take critique and couldn't take criticism and, you know, didn't want me to tell them, hey, you're spelling the president's name wrong while bashing him. And, you know, they ended up like saying F you, and I said F you, and they ended up, they're the people that come on and like, you know, like hack our blog or go on there and post a whole bunch of racist stuff, even though they're not racist, just to mess with me. And they're the people that got my Wikipedia article deleted. So, I hope none of the Fiends, writers are like that. I don't think they're going to be. I think it'll be good because these are better people.
Yeah,
because they're fiend fans.
They totally are. They're fiends, yeah, through and through, thoroughly vetted.
Yep.
But back to Walter Block. So he's a university professor, I think, at Loyola University, and he's written some good theoretical stuff about, you know, how things could work without a government. But like Ben points out, he was kind of weirdly cultish on the whole Ron Paul thing. Since the last election started, that's when I started noticing it. Did you start noticing stuff like that before, Ben, or are you mostly referring when you're critiquing him to his almost passionate cult-like obsession with Ron Paul is the answer to liberty?
I think the problem with him is his cult-like obsession. Well, he calls it, he says repeatedly that he's in love with him. And I don't think that's necessarily a sexual thing, but he says that over and over and over. So what do you think? But on the other hand, this all started, as far as I know, when he decided to bash Wendy McElroy and Stefan Molyneux, who were both
saying they
anarchists.
Weren't true libertarians or because they wouldn't vote for Ron Paul.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And he made horrible strawman arguments against him and was just really nasty with him. And then he's done this with a couple other people since then. So,
I wonder where he goes from here now, though. I mean, Ron Paul, obviously, that answer wasn't the right answer to the question. So where do you think he goes from here? Do you think it'll sort of back off and he'll get back to his regular, more studied self? Or what do you see? Is it kind of like he's jumped the shark or what?
Well, he has come very, very boldly out for Ron Paul in 2016 or whatever.
Okay. So I guess that answers the question succinctly right there.
He just released a book that's basically, he says it's his love letter to Ron Paul, and he's basically demanding that Ron Paul run in the next election.
Wow. I don't think Ron Paul would do that or has even considered doing that. I don't think he could be convinced to do that. I mean, he's retired from the politics game. I mean, isn't that what's happened?
You know, I'd like to interject here.
Okay.
I want to change the subject completely, sort of. I don't care about these people. I don't care about Podbeef. If you want, you can definitely come over on the blog and write your hate letters to him. I would love to have that be a regular column. I just want to talk about status and people are bashing me on Facebook right now, my friends, for saying that statism is a birth defect. me saying that is macho libertarian flash. If you don't know what macho libertarian flash is, you know, it's basically when someone says, well, I believe in stripping government down to the bone. And you're like, really? I think that kindergartners should be able to have machine guns and crack sold in vending machines. You know, it's trying to like... not necessarily one-upmanship, but just say, like, reduce it to no rules, and here's how it would be. And like Randy England said, like, no, those are the arguments I try to avoid because I'm trying to get status in, and I take a kindler, gentler approach, which I can see, but macho libertarian flash is fun, and it has value.
It is fun. It has value for making us laugh.
Yeah, and the thing about statists, the ones that are really... a lot of them are really mean in defending statism, and you can tell those are the ones that will never change. Yeah. I really believe it. In my experience, the ones that will never change are the ones who you say, well, you know, maybe there could be something with the roads that could be done without the guard. They're like, no roads, children, think of the children, horrible. You're a fucking idiot. And they always resort to all sorts of logical fallacies and then accuse you of resorting to three logical fallacies because they've heard the word logical fallacy and only heard the most common three explained to them, which is straw man, red herring, and ad hominem. They use all three of those, but they accuse you of all three of those when in fact, you know, there are hundreds of types of logical fallacies, and a common one status use is the appeal to authority.
That's actually where we were right before we got interrupted with all the advertising and so forth last time when I went off on a tangent about it.
Yeah. Well, there.
Yeah, so we brought it back full circle.
So you brought something.
Job done.
You dropped the ball, then said we dropped the ball, then I picked the ball up, and then you mentioned that we dropped the ball and pointed it out.
So we're breaking all the rules here of radio.
Yeah, but...
No, because he allowed us to come back full circle. So we forgive him for that because that was a good thing.
Yeah, see, what I say is if you pointed out that you did it wrong but then do it right, you're not pulling the curtain back. You're being a teaching hospital. We're exactly. Teaching how to do a live radio show here while we're doing one.
It's redemption.
Yeah, Ian.
So Podbeef. So speaking of my rant, I can finish that then. In running across the savannah chasing your food, there were certain advantages to some people. And for the last 100 years, certain statists have had an advantage and they've dominated the rest of us. But when the state
falls... You have 10 seconds to finish this.
When the state falls, we'll have the advantage.
Yay!
Yes. Woo!
And that was Ben Stone of the Bad Quaker Podcast, which you should all listen to because it contains more truth than the Freedom Fiends, except when he's on the Freedom Fiends. All right, Ben, thanks for calling in, man.
Thanks, man.
No problem. Later Worms. On.
Peace. Yo. It's the Fiends. What's up?
Hey, Nemo. How was your break? I took a nap. How are you?
Did you really take a nap?
Oh, yeah.
A seven-minute nap?
Set my alarm for 7 minutes, went to sleep, snored.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm kidding.
Impressive.
I'm totally kidding. I was I'm doing the writing the blog post for this episode.
Oh, awesome. Doing the show notes.
Yeah,
a couple things ahead of the game.
A couple things I want to cover here. One was where to find our blog is you go on freedomfiends.com and you go scroll down on the right, and there's a picture of a kitty using a computer that says Fiends Blog.
Yes, of course, because cats run the internet, and so you can't do any kind of thing on the internet without having cats included.
And you should subscribe. It's a different RSS feed than our feed for our podcast. Yeah.
Now, I don't usually use the RSS feed to view blogs. Like, if you subscribe, what, you get our blog post in your email, or how does that work?
There's different ways to do it. You can subscribe by email to our, not to our blog, but to our podcast, and you will get an email every time a new episode posts. And we never sell that or rent that or spam you or anything. It's just when an episode posts, and you can unsubscribe anytime. The RSS feed, you subscribe via a podcatcher, which can be either, you know, iGoogle, or it can be iTunes, or there's a whole bunch of freestanding freeware podcatchers too. But I use iTunes because it syncs with my iPod.
Okay. So will iTunes show me our blog posts?
No.
No.
Okay. No, it's only then media.
Then why have an RSS feed for a blog then?
Because you can subscribe in a non-podcatcher, just an RSS feed reader, like iGoogle, I think the Opera browser has one. I think I actually think that Firefox has one built in. I've never used it. It'll open up in your bookmarks or something and update your bookmarks. I don't know how it works, but
okay.
Are you asking what's the point of an RSS feed, period, or only for non-media?
For non-media, for blogs.
So you don't have to go check. I mean, you kind of do it the wrong way, or you do it the way that's the hard way, which is, you know, you go check Lou Rockwell every morning when you get up, whereas you could just be subscribed to the RSS. Oh, he doesn't have an RSS feed because he's 108. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, he hasn't entered the 90s yet. Okay.
Their blog's a little bit different, but I like its format.
I maintain that
it's bare bones and pared down and simple.
I maintain that if you don't have an RSS feed and you can't do commenting, it's not a blog. It's a website.
Okay. To me, I consider anything that regularly posts new bits of information and or writing in a general kind of area of thought, I consider that a blog.
Well, you haven't entered the 90s either.
Okay.
Man, I'm full of piss and pod beef today, huh, man? Pod beef soaked in urine.
I like the way I do things. I don't want to go to a central location and read all the blogs. I want to go to there if I want to go to there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, what I do, though, is...
Some days I don't feel like looking up antiwar.com because I don't want to see the horrible things that we're doing in the world.
Right.
US government's doing in the world.
The way I do it is I'm subscribed to like 15 or 20 blogs and podcasts, and I do it all through iGoogle. And I just ignore it if I'm not in the mood for tyranny. And I can scan the headlines of the article, you know, the articles or the podcast posts on my iGoogle in one page in, you know, a minute. I can look at all of them and see which ones I want to look at.
Yeah.
That saves a lot of time of going to 20 different websites.
Although iGoogle considers itself obsolete now. They're going to be getting rid of it in a year.
Yeah. I'll figure something else out. I used podcatchers before that. There's one called Lemon or Lime or something. I don't know. There's a bunch of them. Okay. Actually, there's a bunch of them listed. If you go to the Alex Jones site, there's a page like, what is a podcast? You know, for people that haven't entered the 90s yet. And it explains them and has some links to some. Although he also has a link to like the Alex Jones branded podcatcher. I mean, I think I'd rather download something from the CIA than download something from Alex Jones somehow. Not that he equals the, but it's like, why do I need an Alex Jones branded one? And what advantages and disadvantages are there going to be of that?
Because Alex's son needs some new shoes, Michael. Be considerate here.
Because he needs a higher wall around his house. Remember he was talking about?
He needs a deeper bunker to live in.
The government's so inefficient. They're going to take a year and a half to fix this swimming pool. And I just had some construction guys over my house, and they built a 10-foot wall around my house in 2 days. And I'm like, of course that's the example you have, Alex Jones, building a concrete bunker around your house. But
yeah.
I think
I'm jealous. Yeah, yeah, me too. I probably would too.
Yeah.
I want one of those homes that's converted missile silo from the Cold War days. Yeah.
Well, I'm bashing him. You're not, which is good because we're trying to get you on there.
I'm not bashing him.
I just, he upsets me. Too much truth, man. Too much truth. I don't know what it is, but it's, you know.
I don't know if it's the facts of the matter that upset me when it comes to Alex Jones. It's more the tone.
It gives
you bad dreams. Yeah.
He also is a real statist constitutionalist. You know, his solution is to fix the government, and I think it's beyond that. Especially when he's saying, like, it's all been taken over by international bankers. That's where he takes it to every time. And it's like,
right.
Really, if that's the case, you think you can fix this system?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so you kick all the international bankers out, you reset everything, like Fight Club, you know, you bring everything back to zero. You're gonna end up with the same people dominating the same system again.
Ben Bernanke.
You gotta get rid of the system, folks.
Ben Bernanke Jr. will take over.
Quadricopter Ben.
He's been yelling audit the Fed louder and longer and more frequently than anybody forever. And it happened a year ago. What changed?
Although I think one of the reasons people are still pushing for audit the Fed is this was a GAO audit, and I don't think it was very extensive.
It was not independent. It was the rats counting the cheese, man.
Right, and I think it's kid gloves, I think, compared to what it could have been. I mean, I think if you were going to do a full audit of the Fed, you'd have to have literally every communique they've had since their inception. To do it, you know, completely, truly, and not have it be filtered through any kind of government entity like the GAO.
Worms.
Yes.
The state are worms.
The state are completely worms. They're beneath worms.
Insignificant worms.
Yes. Although, somebody posted a thing about how great worms were on my Facebook. So maybe we shouldn't call the state worms, because worms are actually beneficial to the world. They get rid of all of the crap in the soil and turn it into more useful, nutrient rich stuff. They help the decaying process of natural order, and the state does sort of the opposite of that. The state keeps the decay there to block new innovations. At least the way I see it.
Yeah.
Are you stealing time from the fiends over there?
Yeah, I'm working on the fiends. I thought I'd let you talk. I talked a lot in the first hour too.
You did.
You got it. You got it, Nima. Go.
I got it. Go. But the state is not worthy of being called worms. I don't think so.
The state
is not worthy of our respect, of that level of respect of that worms bring.
Yeah. You know, yesterday we were looking for Charlie at night when we were going to bed, and we couldn't find her, the cat Charlie. And we ran all over the house, looked in her usual places. She wasn't in the backyard. I was convinced she'd jumped the fence, which she hasn't done in like 2 years. Like, she's getting a little too old for that. We were really worried. And
is she declawed too?
No. Okay, I would never do that.
Good.
And no, she still occasionally like, kills a bird or a mouse and brings it to us too.
Not as much
as she used to. But we found she was in the car with the windows all rolled up, like, you know, standing on the dashboard, which sounds like animal cruelty at all, but it wasn't in the hot sun. It was in the cool garage, and, you know, she was real comfy. She was in there a couple hours. She didn't pee or poo, but we, you know, and we found her. Problem solved. So
how'd she get in the car?
When we're loading and unloading groceries and the car's open for a while,
you leave the door open.
She often jumps into the car, and I shoo her out. We just didn't see her. We didn't see her get in there.
Okay. She was going to those kind of lengths to get away from the squittens.
I think so. She hates the squittens.
Yes. For those who don't know, Michael has three cats. One's a really cool kind of turtle-colored old OG type cat. And the other two are like spastic, odd creatures.
Young
that
brothers.
Michael calls the squittens.
Yeah.
Which is a Japanese mythological half squirrel, half cat.
Yeah.
And that is very very apt for what are their names? Peanut and Fuzzy.
Fuzzy. Yes, Peanut. Yes. Fuzzbucket McFluffernutter and Peanut McFluffernutter.
Right. Crazy cats, yo.
We're going to go sell some stuff.
Yeah, I think we're going to do that.
Yeah. Worms.
Peace.
Worms.
Word.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends podcast. Freedom Fiends is now available for 24/7 streaming to your iPhone, Android phone, or other chromed robot turd. Click on the streaming audio link on freedomfiends.com. That's FREEDOMFEENS.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. We have Freedom Fiends, Anarchy Gumbo, and two designs for Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $6 for four buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Want to contribute to liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes. Follow twitter.com/fiendtorrents to grab the past episodes and new ones as they post. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents, while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding the Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down. That's twitter.com/fiendtorrents.
Fiends Live. I'm Nima Vidati. We got Michael WD on the other end. And we're going to go ahead and give out the call-in number here at the top of this segment. We haven't given it out yet, which is interesting because it's been like an hour and 20 minutes. But here it is. Well, if you'd like to talk to us.
Everyone's been yelling at me on Facebook with comments while they're listening anyway. So
Yeah, fair enough.
We've mentioned that.
But if you want to use your actual vocal cords for the yelling, you can dial 307-215-5171. And you'll get to talk to us, with your voice. It's 307-215-5171. And we also had a bit of news, I guess a little bit of house cleaning within the Freedom Fiends mythology, so to speak. Don't we, Michael?
Yeah, we're retiring the term Christian Sharia that we invented. We did. We absolutely invented that.
It's just totally funny how you said it. It was like Bender. Like me, Bender. The greatest robot in the world.
Is what?
His what?
Yeah.
What is?
We decided that, there was one point when I wanted to retire it because I thought it was insulting to Christians. And Christians had asked us to not use it, who were fans, because it pissed them off. And you were like, no, I think we should keep using it. And you interviewed a Muslim the other day who seems like the most stand-up guy in the world I've ever heard, and it really taught me a lot about Islam and taught me about misconceptions of it and how, like, you know, Glenn Beck doesn't know what the hell he's talking about at all.
It took you that long to figure that out?
Yeah, well, I kind of knew that by now, but I didn't know the details. We realize that it's really disrespectful to Sharia, and Sharia is not this it's going to take over the world. It's a parallel thing that it could work as a parallel legal system. It's not I don't want it in my, I don't want to be subject to it, but that's not what most of them are trying to do, man. So I think it's insulting to Islam to call Christian Sharia that, you know, when we're referring to American Christian politicians and their supporters who want to, like, outlaw, you know, drinking and dancing and fornicating.
Right. And it's not because we're trying to choose Islam over Christianity. Yeah,
absolutely not, man. I think all religions are morally bankrupt.
Here's the thing. In the interview about Sharia, he posits more of a private law approach to it, saying that, you know, you would only ban things for people who are on board with being a part of the Sharia system, right? So because in Islam, it's a sin to coerce somebody's agreement. So if somebody agrees to a covenant and you coerce them to do it, i.e. if you force them to not gamble, if you force them to not do drugs or drink alcohol, then that's hypocrisy and it's a sin under Islam. So that is not what Sharia is about. Whereas when we are trying to talk about Christian Sharians, usually we're talking about religious zealots using the state to force their prescriptions on other people. Like, you must not drink alcohol or smoke weed.
Well, which happens,
you'll throw in a cage.
You know, and I was going to say, well, you know, and maybe 1% of 1% of 1% of all Muslims want to do that. No, I think that'd be more accurate number of the ones that want to use, you know, their own force and not government force to do it. But I think a lot of Muslim countries have laws based on, you know, the same as in America. I mean, lot of our laws are based on, I would say 50% of America or 45% of America want to impose Christian laws.
But that's the state using the theology to beat people over
and
head.
You know, that's true in Saudi. That's true in any country in Middle East where you can't drink, you know, and it's a lot more severe punishments than
so,
here.
You know, that's another reason to retire the term Christian Sharia, because it's also disrespectful, I think, to the word Christian.
To Christian, yeah.
It, it's not actually Christianity that is causing this force. It's the idea of the state mixing with that and corrupting
Religious statism would be a better term for what we're talking about.
Ah, there you go. There you go. Religious statism. Cult statism.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if we talked about this before, but when people do say that you know, libertarianism or anarcho-capitalism is like a cult, and I really like the way Tom Woods put it. It was, oh, really? So the state isn't a cult with your flags and your singing songs of past events and your veneration of the founding fathers and almost worship of them?
You know, and I would say that there's a whole generation coming up now who are fiercely statist while rejecting nationalism or at least patriotism.
Their statist in sort of a UN sense.
I don't know what in a secular humanist we used to call Sharian, but secular humanist. What did I say? Christian.
Religious statism.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that there's a lot of. I mean, I think the average or a majority of kids in high school now, public school, if you talk to them and. You know, I think that they would fiercely defend the state, but are probably kind of turned off by July 4th and, flag waving and consider that something that gun-toting rednecks do. But they really believe in the gun. I mean, it's more like it's more like they love, SEIU and FEMA than the state, than the country.
It's more they love CSI and Special Victims Unit.
Yeah, there's a new cop show every day, I think. I think that it's pretty. I think it's a government mandate or like some kind of tax incentive secret. Really, yeah. I think pretty soon it's going to be nothing but like the president speaking, and then that'll be like 10% of the TV, and then 90% cop shows and Fed game shows.
I think what's worse is also these sort of pseudo reality shows like on True TV. I was over at my father-in-law's house the other day and sometimes he has True TV on in the background. And, I've seen some of these shows before, but there was one I thought was kind of egregious in ways. It was like World's Dumbest Cops. Criminals or something. No, it was World's Dumbest Criminals.
And, I still like that one, man. It's funny.
It is, but there was this one segment, right? Because the format is they'll play a clip, and then they'll have these like F-list comedians comment on it, try to
horrible.
Make jokes about it.
F-list, beyond F-list. Yeah, I mean, like, the biggest star they have on there is, like, who's the skater that, like, broke someone's ankle?
I don't even know. DJ? Yeah, you don't know any of their names.
Who's the skater that broke someone's ankle, had someone's ankle broken? Tanya Harding. Like, Tanya Harding's the biggest star that they have on there. And Danny Bonaducci. From the Partridge Family.
Yeah, they always have Danny Bonaducci. You said skater. I was thinking skateboards. I wasn't even thinking.
No, figure skater. No, well, it's like both of those. The other ones are all comedians. Those two are on there trying to be funny. They're on there because they've both been arrested a lot.
Ah.
Or Danny's been arrested a lot. She's been arrested once for something pretty serious.
Okay. There you go. But
Danny's been arrested with a tranny hooker, and he didn't know, I think, wasn't he? With drugs and a tranny hooker, something like that. He makes jokes about it.
He makes jokes about his own tranny hooker.
Yeah, nice. He was my hero when I was a kid. I used to love the Partridge Family. He was the one that was my age. So I was like, I want to grow up to be a drummer in a band with my family. Why isn't my family playing band instruments?
And talk about tranny hookers on media all the time. Well, you achieved it, Michael.
I guess I did. I'm the low rent Danny Bonaducci. So if he's F list, I'm like X or Y list.
Nice. No, because he's a. I don't know. If he's on that show, then he's got to be some sense a D-bag, because these people were just ridiculous. There was this guy, he got pulled over by the cops, right? He had a driver's license from a different state, but the cops said he didn't have the privilege to drive in the state he was in. He was in like Ohio or something, and he was from some other state. And so they arrest him, and these comedians are just like making fun of him, like, oh yeah, you had 12 points on your license, I can't believe you can't drive in that state. What are you trying to do, drive? The guy was trying to go to work, and the guy's sitting there getting hassled by the cops and saying, hey, this is like the worst I've ever been harassed in my life, to the cops. And the comedians are just like ragging on him, like horizontal enforcement gangbang. Like, you're so ridiculous. He's such a whiner. I can't believe he's complaining about the state taking his car away. And it just made me sick, man. Just made me sick.
Yeah.
People make me sick. Yo.
I'm naked.
Fiends.
I'm naked.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. I'm just changing my clothes. I'm putting on something a little more stylish for the last couple segments here.
Okay. See, I usually don't start the podcast by asking, Michael, what are you wearing? Yeah. And you say, nothing, Lima. Yeah, nothing but a smile.
You know, this is for the people that are watching our streaming video feed.
Oh, really? Do we have one of those now?
I don't know. You know, I saw Tom Waits play.
Provided courtesy of the NSA, of course.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they got cameras on us. But I saw Tom Waits one time on New Year's Eve in San Francisco. It was a great show. And about five times during the show, he said, yeah, and you know, everybody, we put a bottle of champagne under your seats. Don't open it until midnight. And there was nothing under the seats. It was pretty funny.
Nice. Were people pissed?
Nah, it was. He was drinking champagne. I mean, you know, if you could bring your champagne to that show or buy it at the bar.
Okay. Bring your own champagne.
Yeah. So we forgot something in our drug rehab two-parter. Jim Jones ran a drug rehab. The guy that went to Guyana and started the suicide cult. He's kind
not
of the
rapper.
Not the rapper. No. Okay. And why would someone name? He's named after Jim Jones, isn't he?
Or is that his name? I think so, man. I'm not 100%. Maybe that's his real name, but I had always thought because you know rappers like to name themselves after notorious crime figures like Noriega. And Jim Jones is such a bad, dumb rapper. I kind of feel like he tried to do that.
I know.
Like, but at pick least Jim Jones.
Okay. Dude, hang on there. I know you're drinking your purple juice there, your syrup, but don't choke.
Yeah. Sorry. My bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, and tried to pick Jim Jones instead of, you know,
yeah,
some,
it's like
some cooler criminal.
At least Noriega, who was a horrible tyrant and murderer, at least he, like, is thought of as powerful. Jim Jones is only thought of as creepy and weak and weird, you know? Like,
yeah.
It'd be like naming yourself, I don't know, Casper Weinberger or something? No.
Yeah. Although after listening to a verse from Jim Jones, you kind of get the sense that maybe it is an appropriate name.
It'd be like naming yourself as a rapper John Ashcroft, you know?
Yeah. Although, isn't John Ashcroft a singer himself?
Is he?
Have you seen?
Is he the one that's saying like when the eagle soars?
Let the eagle soar. Yeah.
Which really, I think, was the beginning of that whole kind of like genre of country rock and roll patriot stuff. You know, that came out after 9/11. That was way before 9/11.
Stuff is so horrible.
I know. They show it on Fox.
I don't
all
even
the
classify
time,
it as music.
They have those people on Fox in the morning singing all the time. Yeah.
Really? Like the church choir for the religious statist. Wow.
Yeah, and there's extra points. There's actually some that are like active military. They have like a barbershop quartet of active military in their military clothes singing patriotic
Fiend
songs.
Phone. Fiend phone. Fiend phone.
By the fiend.
Fiend
man.
Phone.
I was going nowhere with
fiend
that.
Fiend phone.
I was going everywhere with that. Hello, Fiend. Who's this?
This is Jeremy from Ohio. How you doing?
Hey, Jeremy from Ohio.
What's up, man?
I just wanted to bitch about status.
All right.
Bitch. Go for it.
You're calling the wrong show. We are very pro-statist here, and we're very offended.
And you had one of my libertarian man crushes on earlier. That's when I started listening.
Who, Ben Stone?
Yeah.
You got a little imaginary bromance going with him?
A little bit.
Don't we all?
He doesn't. It's a one-way. It's a one-way thing.
Him and
it's
who?
It's unrequited
who?
Pod love.
Yeah. Who's your other one with? Me? Nima.
Slight with you guys, but... I've got a thing for Larkin Rose. So.
Oh, nice.
I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah,
I just you know what? You know what's funny, though? All four of the people I just mentioned are happily married, too.
As am I. So, you know, we're all on the same page.
Well, I have the man crush on Ben Stone's mind, too. But I have his phone number, and I call him and talk to him for about an hour a day, too.
I don't have that, but I'm within driving distance, probably. So
you should stalk him, man.
From Ohio,
I have his home address.
Oh, I man. Could. I choose not to.
I would probably. Yeah. Yeah. I think you chose right. I would.
That'd
not
be incredibly creepy. But
yeah.
I was poking him pretty hard today. You know, maybe I'll just give you his address and have you show up on his doorstep.
camp out.
You know, Henry Rollins, when I interviewed him, said that he'd had stalkers that had like camped out in the bushes outside his office and stuff. It was really creepy.
When did you interview him, by the way?
I interviewed him. Well, he's in my movie, Hubert Selby Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow, but that's archive footage shot at Selby's memorial, used with permission. I interviewed him, audio interview only, and then I transcribed it for a book I wrote called $30 Writing School, which I think came out in 2000, 2002 or 2003, so around then.
He's a cool guy, but I was listening to, he did a podcast, the Disinformation podcast, about 2 months ago.
He's a statist.
Is a hardcore statist.
He really is.
He's like idiotic. I mean, I couldn't believe it because he seems like a thoughtful guy, and it's just like, really?
You know, he's donated a lot of money to the Southern Poverty Law Center too. You know, and he believes he's fighting racism, but he's really, you know, demonizing Americans who aren't always racist and are not violent, and lumping them in with, you know, people who blow up Jewish schools and abortion clinics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know how you can be intelligent and not pick these things up, because I think a lot of these statists are fairly intelligent, but
we opened this with, and I didn't get a chance to record it, but we opened this whole cast with me talking about having an argument with somebody who had, you know, double master's degrees, and hearing the word voluntarism because I mentioned it, and she Googled it and suddenly wanted to argue with me about it. And you know, we talked about how Kevin McKernan, our friend who's a DNA scientist, said that he knows a lot of people who are absolute experts in one field, and that makes them often think that they have a right and, you know, duty to chime in with strong opinions in any other field. And Henry Rollins just defies logic with this, because with his other stuff, he's so logical, and a lot of his really good, really funny, really pointed spoken word stuff is about prejudice and contempt prior to investigation and bashing people who do it, usually Republicans. But you know, just he goes off about like he has this one thing about homophobia. He's like, homophobia, why are there still people who are homophobic? I mean, that is a wall of logic to climb that's about as high, half as high as the curb on the side of the road. How are there still humans who can breathe and function who can't get 3 inches up from where they are? And I agree. I agree with him. But then it's like, you know, the barrier to leap over, to hurdle over, to understand that statism is evil is probably about 6 or 7 inches tall. And this guy presents himself as and is perceived as a mental giant, and he's probably got a genius IQ. I've sat down and talked with him for an hour, and I can tell. And how can someone like that just love the state and defend it so damn much, man?
It's a religion, man. More and more I think about it, the more and more it is, it's a cult, it's a religion. I put a post on Facebook. I was working, and I don't watch much TV, but I threw C-SPAN on the other night when Michelle Obama was speaking. She's talking about how great her husband was and how much character he has. And I basically just put, like, if you're caging people for not, if you were an avid pot smoker, yet you're caging people for victimless nonviolent crimes, you don't have any character. And then I put, you know, if you support the war on terror, which has killed hundreds of thousands of innocent people, you don't have any character, you know, and so on and so forth. Right. And the Republicans were the ones who attacked me, my Republican friends.
Wow.
And then I thought I laid it out, like, I feel real good about myself. I laid out these logical arguments against taxation, about how you own your body, you know, and no one can tell you, you know, a bunch of men getting together and writing on a piece of paper doesn't alter morality. And then, like, one of them's like, yeah, you just don't make any sense.
Did they use logical fallacies on you and then accuse you of using logical fallacies?
You know, they didn't accuse me of using logical fallacies, because I'm pretty sure, and they're smart guys, but I'm pretty sure they don't know what logical fallacies are, but they sure use plenty.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just, it's frustrating. And I've been meaning to do a lot of research on logical fallacies, so then I can just start blasting people with them. You know, I know what they are, and I've always...
Well, we're linking on today's episode, which will be up about an hour after the show, I'm linking a list of short explanations of the 44 most common logical fallacies.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't think the logical fallacies will really work on those hardcore statists that we're talking about.
No, because statism is a birth defect, man.
Yeah, yeah, there are people that are beyond help, man.
The people that aren't too bought in, because at work this week, I was at the distribution center. They do a lot of our, you know, assembly and stuff, and I'm in sales. And
we're going into a break here.
Okay.
Yeah, why don't you hold on for just a little bit for us, okay?
Yep.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, yeah. Last segment here.
It sure is.
So I got an apology here.
All right.
I accidentally I was trying to steal time for the fiends to work on the fiends. I was writing the post that we're gonna have, for this episode, and without, you know, having the MP3 to put in it, because it's not done recording it yet, because we're making it right now live, I was trying to hit save draft and I hit publish, and so everyone that's subscribed just got a RSS notification or an email notification sending you to a post that when you go there now, it's gone, and it's going to say, you know, it's going to be our for you can go look at it and check out our 404 page, which I'm pretty proud of. It's a pigeon with an SD card on it telling people that they should be saving Fiends episodes, so when we're droned, they can put them on carrier pigeons and share them.
It is awesome. So go visit it anyway. It'll be worth your while.
Yeah.
but please wait, because we'll have the actual audio for the live show up after that at some point. I do want to give a shout out, since we're in the last segment here, to Kevin Lamoureux, a big fan of the Fiends and a supporter of the Fiends.
He won a date with the Fiend.
Yeah, it is his birthday.
Speaking of man crushes, you got to go hang out. I don't know if you guys got man crushes or not. That was an interesting little comment. Ben's my man crush. Ben's my man crush, and I stalk him on the phone.
And I was just anyway, it's Kevin Lamoureux's birthday, so I was trying to wish him a happy birthday on his Facebook, but I was doing it while I was talking, so I just wrote birthday exclamation point instead of happy birthday.
On people's birthday. Birthdays, I usually put mew, M-E-W, with two or three exclamation points.
Yeah, yeah. I just put birthday, but in case you're listening, Kevin, there should be a happy in front of that, because happy birthday to you.
Oh, I don't know. Birthday kind of says it.
Yeah, I guess so. Fair enough.
Do you know what? No one knows my birthday except you and DJ. I don't put it on the internet. I put it by a couple weeks off, or I won't say how much I put it off by, but it's wrong, because, you know, you should know. I don't think you should ever put your birthday on the internet. It makes it easier for people to steal your identity and to, you know, identify one fact pattern with another. Do you know about the new FBI thing? They just spent $1 billion for a national facial recognition system.
Oh, you know what? It's funny. Somebody posted on my Facebook wall on the interview I did with Will Coley is titled "Why Muslims Should Be Libertarian." One of my friends posted a thing saying why libertarians should wear burkas, and then posted the news item about the FBI's nationwide facial recognition system.
I'm sure they'll outlaw. I mean, in a lot of places, it's illegal to cover your face. It's illegal in New York City, and I think there's exceptions for Muslims. Which is interesting, because if they're driving this whole thing on a false flag or a misconception that Muslims are the new commies and need to be watched like the USSR, the only exception for covering your face is the people they're trying to base and pin the whole thing on.
Yeah, good point there. So is the FBI starting the research, or it's
No. This is they're putting it in. I mean, it's hooking up to like street cameras. Cameras in Walmarts, cameras in stores that allow them to. Yeah, they're going to know where everyone is at all times. And they said that they're going to use Facebook to improve their database. Because, you know, whereas a mugshot, you have two pictures, front and side. Facebook, people have 10 to 20 pictures of themselves. You know, with different angles, different clothing, you know, different weights, different ages. You know, they can see, like, if they want to know what you're going to look like in 2 years, they can probably know, because they have a picture of you now and a picture 2 years ago. They can extrapolate that. So, yeah, they're just,
You know, there was one item I saw.
Pre-crime.
Exactly, pre-crime. But there was this, I think it was a makeup design artist who had designed makeup patterns to throw these kind of facial scans off to confuse them. And I think it was resting on the idea of a certain kind of dissymmetry. Like, you would have a completely different makeup pattern on one side of your face and a different pattern on the other. And apparently that can confuse these scanners. I don't know how effective they are, but I figure there'll be some smart people out there.
I don't want to walk around with like two colored makeup, like a, you know, sports fan wearing his sports team colors down the two sides of my face. That's not how I want to live.
Yeah, you'll probably just stay at home all the time.
I do already, but, you know, I mean, Alex Jones said, you know, last year he said, well, now we have goons searching everybody and violating their rights in airports. Next year it'll be on the highway, and the year after that it'll be in your living room. This year it's on the highway. So, you know, they're doing random stops, Project Cobra, different things where they just pull people over for no reason and, you know, violate their Fourth Amendment and search them without a warrant.
Yeah, so you think it'll eventually it'll come to the point where you get a knock on your door, say once a week at a random point, and the TSA agent comes in and surveys your apartment and tests your water to make sure it's not an explosive.
Well, you know, I think that a way that they'll do that is just by arresting everybody for false felonies. You know, once you have a felony, a parole officer can come into your house at any time, and I'm sure they could bring a TSA agent or a DHS agent or a, you know, local idiot trained off a pizza box working for some fusion center.
Yeah,
we just got a really nice comment.
Go ahead.
What? I'm what?
I was gonna say you're making me depressed now, man. We're supposed to
I have a really good here. You know, let's go lighthearted. We got a really nice comment on Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom from Jim Pelmanicio. He said, "Job well done. Thank you for being true Americans." Which, you know, I mean, we've said a lot of people call us patriots and we don't call ourselves that, but I'll take that as a compliment.
Sure, yeah, if you want to call us that.
We're true anarchist Americans.
There you go.
We're true anarchists who live in the geographical area known as America.
That's true, yeah. I'm an American.
And we're true. I think we're true.
So, yeah.
Thank you for being true.
If you break both of those down there, yeah, we're both of those things. We're true and we are American.
We live in the I'm American according to America until they suspend my, you know, I'll never renounce my citizenship, but there's a thing. I don't want to go into that, man. They want to like be able to, you know, there's an NDAA thing where they can like remove your U.S. citizenship and then they don't have to like have any, you know, rights.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard of that kind
Treat
of stuff.
Treat you like an enemy combatant for saying like Ben Stone did. We want to, all we do when we talk on here is sharpen the blade of liberty.
Excuse me. Sorry.
Man, you gotta stop sipping that syrup.
The syrup would keep me from coughing.
Oh, that's true.
Don't you know what the syrup is?
You need some
man?
Syrup. That's right. Yeah, I do.
Square over there. But I was gonna say,
you're smoking Jankum.
Lou, I'm huffing Jankum. I've got a little Jankum hose that goes directly to my room.
You got the Jankum vaporizer?
Yeah, the Jankum. Yeah, the E Jankum.
E-jank.
Lou, who's a longtime caller
and
on
a blogger,
show,
he's a blogger on the
and
Fiends blog.
Now he's a blogger. Yeah, and he wrote a great little future fiction, or as we call it, Tyranny Tomorrow,
and fiend fiction. Yeah.
So you should go check that out. As long as we're on the same lines of
it's a news item from it's a news item from the same day, but in 2016. Several people read it and thought it was news before they saw the date on it. Yeah. Yeah.
You guys got to get your irony radars tuned there.
It was really, really well done. And he's going to write some, too, that are the opposite, that are like, you know, 8 years from now on her lib pair. Like, mommy, what's a gun ban?
Right.
I read in this book about a gun ban. What's a gun ban? What's banning?
Yeah. What's banning? Exactly. Yeah. But my favorite line from it, I think, was the reporter sort of feigns to do a man on the street interview with people. And one person's like, well, she signed the social contract in the FEMA camp like we all did. So I don't know what her problem is.
Yeah. They put a gun to my head and I was starving and they offered me a bowl of soup or to kill me if I signed this piece of paper. So I signed this piece of paper. Yeah. They'll make the social contract an actual social contract. And,
right.
You know,
give so you can't bread. Say you didn't sign
you'll
it.
You'll get bread and circus like in the Roman days to sign it. We'll either throw you to the lions or we'll feed you a crust of bread. Sign this.
I think I'll take the bread. Yeah.
Keep your damn circus. Keep your terrorism porn theater.
Yeah. I'll just entertain myself. Thank you.
Yeah, that's what people describe the TSA thing as, is like security theater.
Security theater. Oh, it totally is.
It's the illusion of security, yeah.
You see that thing of the video of the woman shot of her water? The TSA guy wanted to test her bottle of water that she bought after passing security. And she says, you know, this is just for retaliation, isn't it? And the guy says, yeah, it's basically for that.
Retaliation guy for admits what? It. Had she been snippy with him and flexed her rights?
Exactly. She had given him lip, so to speak.
Alex Jones said
that not caught into that.
He said that specifically is training for FEMA camps or training for, you know, the work camps.
A precursor.
For bowing to. Yeah. Well, let's get off that. The printable gun thing got written up this week in the Huffington Post and on Yahoo News. And both of them were like, the sky is falling. There's printable guns. The sky is falling. Yeah.
ridiculous. But at least it's getting out there, right? I mean, all the people that aren't idiots will read that and be like, wow.
Yeah, the Yahoo one,
the
basically
future is
like,
indeed bright.
The Yahoo basically like quoted a bunch of federal gun laws and said, this guy's either going to end up in prison or having his hand blown off or both. Wow. Yeah, way to encourage progress, Yahoo.
Yeah, screw you guys.
It's been a good fiends, man.
Yeah, man. We love you, fiends. Peace.
I like you, fiends.
Oh, come on. Show some love, Michael.
I like them.
All right.
I don't love about three people. All right, man. Okay. Worms.
Peace.
Worms.
We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.